Our scripture for this morning is from the New American Standard Bible. It is a very familiar passage from the second chapter of Luke. And we're going to be talking today about Jesus. When they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city of Nazareth. This is Jesus' family. The child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. We have gone from verse 40. 40 is an interim verse in there from 39 to 41. We've gone a period of about 12 years there. And that's one of the things that that we often wish is that we had more about the childhood of Jesus, because we just don't have a lot. Anyway, we're now at verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he had become 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning, after spending a full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents were unaware of it. But supposing him to be in the caravan, went a day's journey, and they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When they saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Well, aren't you glad you're here in Bosquedale Church this morning? Smile. Yes. Very good. I thought you probably were, but I do want to say I'm sure there are some very personal and some special thoughts for you about being in church here in the hollow of Bosquedale. Many of you grew up spending Sunday right here on this hill, halfway up the hill if you lived over on Springer Ridge Way, and halfway down the hill if you lived up anywhere near Effie and Frank's home or on out that way. And this is where you came to Sunday school as a child, and then as a youth, and now for many years as an adult, bringing your own children or caring for some of the many children of the families around you who were in your Sunday school classes or some other activity for children that you were with. And you remember how special it was for all sorts of children, your own or the ones of other families. And your mind is going back these Sundays of December, back to the special events and the pageantry and just the plain joy of Christmas times at the little white church of Bosquedale here on this hill. And there are others of you this morning who've only been coming here over the past 2 or 5 or 10 or 12 years as ones who've had the real joy of finding this little white church and have become real family with the old timers here. If you've been here for a while, 5 or 10 years, saying in your heart, this is my church, this is my church family, and you're certainly enjoying the fellowship of this church, and have seen some of our children and our really young adults grow up, and they're part of who you say is your church family. And of course, I could go on describing our great mix of folks who are just glad to say, yep, that's my church family. You know, all of us here today, that's what we'd say. And for all of us, I think I can speak for all of us this morning. And I'll say, wow, we are moving right along. And we see and what we feel, you know, the beautiful decorations, the prominent Advent candles, the meaning of each that we're all talking about in our readings together, our Advent readings, the Christian hymns, the special music like Sarah's splendid saxophone rendition of you know, I sat there and I tried and tried and tried to I sang it and I couldn't remember the name of it. What carol was that? Came upon a midnight clear. Yes, my mind was still kind of foggy like midnight. It came upon a midnight clear. Yes, certainly that's what it was. Well, and then today's scripture about the life of Jesus moving from childhood into manhood, because when they became 12, they became a man. All of what we're experiencing here this morning, this is church family at Christmas time. So I'm going to try to add a little more with a Christmas message this morning about how important it is, how vital it is to have children in a church family as we gather over the years celebrating the special times of all of the days of Christmas. It sure has been over the years at Bosque Del Baptist, and how looking at not just the birth of Jesus, but also the young growing years of a young boy Jesus. I think these things can help us to give some special focus on the children of a congregation, your children, your grandchildren, the children and the young people of others in our church family that you work with here at Christmas time, how it can help us to review within our own lives and our own thoughts, reviewing the childhood and the home life of Jesus. So I come today having asked the Holy Spirit to guide me with a message that will be helpful to all of us for the present and for the future of this church that God has built and sustained here for almost 120 years. And I believe God wants to continue to bless for many years to come this church to His honor and to His glory. So, getting to Jesus, what were the childhood and home life of Jesus like? What were those like? How did His home life differ from that of the average American child of today? Are there any parallels between Jesus' childhood and that of children now? You know, as you think about it, it's hard to come up with any, isn't it? Well, maybe there are. The circumstances under which all of us know about Jesus, how He grew up, all of that was a very simple life. Well, for all we know, very simple life. That is very simple in comparison to our modern American society, where almost every home, almost all children grow up today that would be classified as actually affluent in comparison with the home life of probably pretty much of all of the Jewish families of Galilee and Nazareth. I don't mean all American homes and their children are rich. Don't mean that at all. Just have conveniences and stuff occupying time and attention far beyond what was there in Jesus' day. And I'll start where you're thinking I'm going to start. You know, a TV set, store-bought toys, cell phones. But you know what else I'm talking about as comparison? turning on a faucet and fresh water comes out. Washing, drying your household clothes. Laundry appliances in the home. At least a laundromat down the street. Not going down to the creek and trying to get the clothes there clean and dipping the water you need out for the clay jar, out in the clay jar that you brought to bring water up from the creek or the pond. A car in the driveway, or a neighbor with a car, or affordable transportation, low-cost transportation, or free, that can take a parent a mile or more away to the grocery store or to shop. Not the long and tiring walk to the marketplace in the village and then carrying what you've been able to purchase on the long walk home, like Jesus and his mother did. And school. Synagogue school for the boys, where almost all of what you would learn would be the law of Moses. And you had to memorize it because there were not books to take home. And school for young girls was homeschool, where you learned how to make and bake bread, how to take the clay jar to the spring or to the creek to have water at home, how to wash the household clothes and other stuff down there at the creek. Actually, for the girls, no multiplication tables or science projects or anything like that. Or today, school books, projects, lunch in the lunchroom, recess and dodgeball, six subjects for all boys and girls to learn. Math and history and English and science and spelling and social studies and maybe other things. So Jesus grew up in a home where minimalism rather than affluence was known. And there were none of the modern appliances and conveniences that we've come to consider as necessities today. However, with all of those differences, there are some similarities that we can and that we need to tap into. For starters, Jesus was very fortunate to have Mary and Joseph as the parents in his home. And there are children today who's got mother and a father they are very fortunate to have in their home. Amen. In many respects, it is the parents who affect the home life and the childhood of little ones more than any other single factor. Therefore, it's important to examine parents who influence the growth and the development of any child. And looking at the development of Jesus, we can easily and honestly say he was fortunate to grow up in a home with Joseph as father and Mary as mother. So we know it didn't just happen. Mary as mother of Jesus was chosen by God for a unique parental role, a service to God and a benefit to the preparations of Jesus for his unique role among us. God had chosen to visit the earth in the form of a human being. And he chose Mary, a virgin peasant girl, to be the mother of the Christ child, who had been and was to be and always will be a part of the eternal Trinity. While Mary performed a unique function, she had characteristics illustrated to us in Scripture that others can imitate and can try to be like. Mary was a devout and genuine believer in God. Mm-hmm. Mary was pure in mind and body and motive. Mary was humble before God, recognizing her dependence on him for everything. Mary was obedient to the known will of God, and that when God sent the angel Gabriel to reveal God's plan and purpose for her, she was obedient to that. Mary was cooperative with the Holy Spirit, not only at the beginning, but throughout the childhood and lifetime of her child, her Lord and our Lord. Mary was thankful to God for the privilege of being his servant, and responded with joyful submission And that's so beautifully presented to us in the chapter of that we've read from, Luke 2, 46 through 55. It's called Mary's Song of Praise. It's a portion of Scripture known as the Magnificat. And I think it's important and it's worthy for any woman who becomes a mother to examine the life of Mary and note that Jesus had this kind of mother during his childhood. And she, living her kind of life, contributed greatly toward the productive and happy home life of her family. And Joseph consented to being a father to this miracle child, a messianic Christ child. While, of course, Joseph was not the biological father of Jesus, we unfortunately don't know much more about Joseph after the early childhood of Jesus. What we do know gives all the signs that he fulfilled all the responsibilities of a loving father. Realizing who Joseph was during this time of calling and anticipation and follow through as a father brings to mind the special callings presented to several types of fathers. Fathers who bring a child into the home through adoption or through temporary foster care. A child who's born out of wedlock. Men of the military who find battle orphaned children and give them special care until a native family can be found for them. And there are other ways of being a father to a child born or somehow else existing outside of the norm. And I say special, the special way of becoming a father, anyone like that would do well to look back at the example of Joseph. Well, they may not have the privilege of introduction to a special fatherhood that Joseph had, but I believe they could learn an awful lot from Joseph. You see, what I'm getting at here is that having the ability to be a married biological father of a child is not nearly as significant as having the disposition and the determination to provide the nurture and the guidance and the wisdom and help a growing child needs in his or her pilgrimage toward maturity. Mm-hmm. Joseph listened to God. Matthew 1, 18 through 22. Matthew 2, 13 and 14. Joseph listened to God. For Joseph, prayer was not just a matter of talking to God. It was opening his mind and his heart to let God talk to him. You see, God communicated with Joseph in dreams. And Joseph heard the voice of God because he was a genuine believer in God. He believed in the goodness of God's purpose. And he was obedient to God's instructions. Matthew 1:24. It's quite possible that Joseph thought about and recalled Abraham to all the Jews, the father of the faithful. Joseph probably had him in mind because Abraham was a man who believed in God and most importantly, obeyed God. These two traits, believing and obeying, they go together in the making of a great and good father. Joseph worked and set an example with his hands, Matthew 13:55. We have every indication that the child Jesus learned to work with Joseph in his carpenter shop. With Joseph, Jesus placed a divine stamp of approval on the working with one's hands. All this work you do, Milton, is it with your hands? Oh, yes, it is. Well, God blesses that. Joseph provided God with a model. Joseph provided Jesus with a model of thinking about God. Joseph and Mary were together and related to Jesus as mother and father. Luke 2:48 tells how these two were together. As you read the Gospels, you quickly see that our Lord's favorite term for God is Father. We can only presume that some of this was from his thinking about Joseph. that Jesus had a special model for thinking about God. Now, the childhood of Jesus was one of growth. Jesus experienced physical growth. In all the credible accounts of the life of Jesus, almost totally in the Gospels, all that we're privileged to know is that he grew without incident, no problems. He grew toward physical manhood. And after many unknown childhood years, we know that now when we get to 12 years old, he walked with his parents to Jerusalem and then returned to Nazareth. These were long and day-filling journeys. That's a pretty good record for a 12-year-old. And on return home, the report we get is a doctor's report. He grew in stature. That's a word in comparison in the thesaurus. He grew in build. He grew in height. He grew in physique and things like that. So we can believe that Jesus experienced a healthy, developing body, according to his physician, Luke. Luke 2:52. Jesus experienced intellectual growth. That same passage, Luke 2:52, just you have it at the end of your scripture. It says he increased in wisdom. Well, Jesus would have been like all the Jewish boys, learning to read by reading Moses' books of the law in the synagogue. And we have evidence that by reading, he learned. Because as an adult, he quoted those holy scrolls. Jesus learned to write. I don't think it's incidental that we read later of his writing in the sand. Like every Jewish boy, Jesus learned a trade during childhood. Mark 6, verse 3 identified Jesus among his contemporaries as a carpenter. Another place says he's a carpenter's son, but Mark says he was a carpenter. So here's a good thing for fathers to emulate from Joseph, the father of Jesus. A son learning to work while he is yet a child. In other words, he didn't grow up thinking the world owed him a living. Jesus experienced spiritual growth. I've already noted that Jesus studied the scriptures both in his home and in the synagogue. He was known as one regularly attending the synagogue's services. That's in Luke 4:16. It says, as was his custom, he went to the synagogue. Jesus developed a habit of prayer. Well, I don't think habit is nearly as accurate as to say he conversed with the Father all the time. And I can only surmise that he was brought up in his home where prayer was the norm. Jesus let the world of his Father's nature, the beautiful and bountiful earth that we have, remind him to be thankful for the presence and the power and the purpose of God. Jesus related to his parents in reverent obedience. He recognized and responded to their authority. And God has appointed parents to be authority figures in their children's lives. And it makes me sad, but sometimes I see it, sometimes you see it, a child not respecting parental authority. So how can we pass on to our children and our grandkids and children in church, the ways to follow the pattern of Jesus in his youth, in his childhood? Well, we can lead them to recognize and relate to God as your Father, your personal authority. We can commit our adult lives to the house and the business of God. Jesus worked for God in a carpenter shop, and we can teach our children that our house, our work, is committed to Almighty God. Jesus lived his whole life for God in his redemptive mission, and we have a mission of our own. And we can respond positively to God's helpers. Jesus did. And so this time of year, blessed December and Advent in the church, we naturally focus on the birth of Jesus as our Lord. But let's give some valuable, special time to helping our children growing up to move on up to the model of childhood and youth of Jesus following his miracle birth. And let's let them, the children, the grandchildren, the little ones who come to church, see who baby Jesus grew into, surrounded by godly parents and family. We can do that, can't we? Amen.